This podcast is brought to you by Dinglemount Church. It will open up God's Word to you, inspire you to love God and grow in the knowledge of Him, and challenge you to live a victorious Christian life. Be blessed as you listen.
The scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of Luke chapter 9, and I'll read from verses 59 down to verse 62. Luke chapter 9 from verses 59 down to verse 62. And I'm aware this is, like I said, the last Sunday of the month, and there's a message I just want to share with you for this Sunday. And I think it's more or less like looking back at from the January, February, March, April down to this Sunday. And the message is very simple and it's titled, Don't Look Back. And that might sound a little bit, but we can look back to see the mercies of God. We can look back to see what God has done. We can look at the faithfulness. But there's also something that we are not called to do in our relationship with God, as we follow Him, as we walk with Him. And that's what we are looking at this morning, especially the last Sunday of the month, and also as we go into the new year. Luke chapter 9, and I'll read verse 59 to 62. He says, Then he said to another, this is Jesus now speaking. He says, Follow me. That's what we've been singing. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go. He says, and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, and this is where the emphasis, what I'm looking at this morning. Jesus said to him, he says, No one having put his hand to the plow, he says, and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. No one having put his hand on the plow and looking back, he says, is fit for the kingdom of God. And Lord, we ask that you open the scriptures and just speak into our hearts as we've come to this Sunday, the last Sunday of the month and also in the year. And Lord, we look forward in anticipation for what you will do. But there's a warning in here for us that no one who puts his hand on the plow and is looking back is fit for your kingdom. And Lord, I thank you because as you've brought us into this relationship, not only have you started it, but we know you will finish it to the very end. In Jesus' name, amen. We all know that at the heart of discipleship, which is what we all are called to become as disciples of Jesus Christ, at the heart of discipleship is that call to follow Jesus Christ. Not just to follow Him for a day or two or three or four, but to follow Him all the way through to the very end. The day you become a Christian, or the day I gave my heart to the Lord and became a Christian and maybe called myself a disciple, more or less like a disciplined follower of Jesus, all I said to Jesus is, wherever you lead, I will go. Whatever you say, I will do, and whatever you are calling me in that walk with you, I will follow you to the very end. So let's not forget that at the heart of discipleship is that call for us as Christians to follow Jesus till the very end. And in the scripture we read this morning, we saw people or men who came to Jesus. Actually, one of them had a great desire to follow Jesus. He said there in verse 59, he says, Then he said to another, this one, he says to him, follow me. Jesus Christ extended that invitation, just as he is extending that invitation to many people today. During Christmas, the message went forth that Jesus Christ came, he was born, God became man, and that's still an invitation going forth, saying, come, come and follow me, come and serve the King. And he said, follow me, and look at what this man says. He says, Lord, let me first of all go and do something. And we know that that's always been the reason or the excuse that most people give for not serving God or for following Him. It may not be what this man said, but at the heart of it, there is always something that stops people, that stops them from coming to serve Jesus, from coming into that intimate relationship that Jesus Christ is calling them to. And then another in verse 61 now said, he says, Lord, I will follow you. So you can see the contrast. Jesus Christ extended an invitation to one, and he gave the reason why he can't follow. And then Jesus looked at another and said, now you follow me. And look at what the man said. Let me also, this is the first thing I want to do. I want to go home and bid farewell to those who are at my house. And Jesus Christ in verse 62 said and made this profound statement that we are looking at this morning. That no one having put his hand, he says, to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So we are talking about kingdom fitness here. We all know that sometimes, especially when we cross over to the new year, there will be lots of people who will be making new year resolutions. And part of the resolution for some is fitness. They want to be fit. They go to gyms. They start off gym membership. And of course, after the first week or two, they never go back there again. And but we're talking about fitness there. So fitness for us as Christians is also very, very important. Not only are we saying that, we are talking about kingdom fitness. In everything that we do with God, God is looking and saying that we have to be fit for a purpose. If you are a musician, you ought to be fit for a purpose. If I'm a preacher, I have to be fit for a purpose. If you are being called into a relationship with someone, you have to be fit for that purpose. And so Jesus is saying it's not about just that fitness that we are talking about, but this is the reason why some people or many don't even qualify to enter that kingdom. He says, no one having put his hand to the plow, he says, and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. So he tells us that looking back does hinder our spiritual progress. Not just our spiritual progress in whatever God has called us to do, in whatever we do in life, even in the natural things that we know. Imagine if you're a driver and you're driving on, holding the wheels or the steering wheels of a car, and you're constantly looking backwards while you're driving. You know what will happen? Of course, we are called sometimes to look at the mirror to see if there is danger before we make a turn. But I want you to imagine if constantly your eyes are fixed on the rear view mirror, you know what will happen. And I don't need to tell us. And the same thing in our relationship with God. When God calls us, all he's calling us to is to look forward. When he calls us to look backwards, all God may be saying to us is to learn from something from the past. Learn from what happened in the past. You remember when Jesus Christ said, remember Lot's wife. Now, that was a call to look back. That was a call to remember something in the past. But that call to remember something also points us to the future. That in the same way we saw something happen to Lot's wife, whom, if you remember the story, for those who are familiar with that story, there was this angelic visitation, and they were delivered from Sodom. And because God was about to destroy that city, and the instruction came, and God said to him, said to them to leave as fast as they could from that city, because it was about to be destroyed. But we knew the story, we know the story so well. As they set out on that journey, that woman began to think about all that she had in the place. She began to think about the past and everything. Maybe she must have enjoyed all the possessions or whatever she had locked up in Sodom, a place that God had clearly instructed not to look back or go back to. And we know what happened to her. The Bible says that she became the judgment of God, the punishment came, and she became instantly a pillar of salt. And it shows you what can happen, and that is God calling us to remember. Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. So looking back can actually bring not just spiritual defeat, but also defeat in whatever that we have set out to do. If you go to the book of 1 Kings, and I just want us to see this parallel in the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. We have a very popular story in 1 Kings. I think this was the call of the prophet Elisha. If you go to 1 Kings chapter 19, and you see when the prophet was called, and I love the way the story unfolded in 1 Kings chapter 19. If you look at, I think this should be from verse 20 of 1 Kings chapter 19. It tells us on how Elisha followed Elijah. Look at verse 20. And this is what happened there. 1 Kings 19:20. He says, and he left. This was the junior prophet who was about to be called to follow his master Elijah. So he left the oxen and he ran after Elijah and said, please let me kiss my father and my brother and then I will follow you. Now, doesn't that sound similar to what we see happening in the New Testament when there is a call extended and people are saying, no, let me first of all go and do this. This is what matters most. This is the most important thing to me. Let me do that then. It says, let me kiss them, father and mother, and then I will follow you. And look at what he said. And he said to him, you go back again. For what have I done to you? Because the prophet cast his mantle on him, his piece of cloak on him. And which was very symbolic. He was telling him that there will be a transfer of the power. The prophetic gift is coming upon you. You are going to become the next prophet. Something very significant was taking place here. And he said, well, this is what I need to do. Look at verse 21. He said, so Elisha turned back from him and then took the yoke of oxen and slaughtered them and boiled their flesh. He says, using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate it. Then he arose and followed Elijah and served him. And there you see a picture of the call and how we ought to embrace, not just the call, but the relationship that God brings us into. When that man knew there was no chance for him to go back, remember, he was a farmer, he had everything going for him. And he looked at the oxen, everything he had to kill it. He slaughtered it. And I love what he did, because it's very symbolic. He did that so that he wouldn't have that opportunity to go back to what he had before. And so he felt, if God has called me to do this, to follow Elijah and follow him all through to the very end, then I don't think I have to create room to go back to those old things. And so the Bible said he killed it, boiled their flesh, and using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate it. And then he arose, and that is the call. He arose, not just arose from where he was, but from whatever job that he had before, from whatever thing that had held him, from whatever commitment he had. He knew this was a higher call that God was calling him to, and he followed. Looking back, what it does is that it provides opportunity for us to go back. And there are many people today, they are walking with God. God has called them into that relationship. They can see the faithfulness of God. They can see that God is good, but they are constantly looking back. And it's only a matter of time they'll begin to go back. And then as time goes on, you see that you never see them anymore getting stronger in that relationship that God has called them to. So the call for us as we are about to cross into the new year, and this is the last Sunday of the month, is for us not to look back. And I'm sure you might be wondering this morning, but what am I called not to look back on? There are so many, but I'm just going to mention a few this morning that will help us just by way of reflection and to be slightly focused. Here in Elijah's story in Elisha, we saw him, he could have looked back at the things that he had. He could have looked back at his oxen and the equipment and everything he had that could have prevented him from serving God. In the one we saw with Jesus Christ, that man looked back. Of course, it also had to do with family. Let me go and do this. And he's always first. This is the priority. I need to do this before I do this other one. But Jesus is saying to us, if you remember Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's about priorities. Seek ye first, and then every other thing will not come in. But to help us this morning, some of the things that I've listed, which I think we shouldn't look back at as we cross over to the new year. The first thing is, don't look back at the sins that have been forgiven. Don't look back at those sins that God has forgiven already. You know, this is Christmas, and we talked about Jesus Christ coming for a sole reason, not just to be born, but to die on the cross, to cleanse us, and to bring us into the family. And I'm sure that if you look back maybe over your life, not all of us, maybe some, from the beginning of the year, January, February, March, April, May, June, you should be honest, at least to an extent, and say to yourself, well, I know that I haven't lived up to the expectation. There are areas of my life that haven't been as good as it should be. Or maybe you faltered and you failed. You sinned against God in so many ways, either by the things that you've done or by the things that you should have done, but you did not do. But when you come into that relationship, that is where forgiveness comes. And Jesus Christ speaks forgiveness into our hearts and lives. And he is saying to us this morning, don't look back at those sins that have been forgiven. Because what it does is the more we look back at those sins that have been forgiven, the more the enemy speaks into our hearts and makes us feel guilty and puts us in a position where we don't appreciate the forgiveness that Jesus Christ had come to give us. Imagine if you have a child and the child is grown old enough to understand. When he sins against his father or does something that he shouldn't do, goes back to the father and asks for forgiveness. And the father says, you have been forgiven. And the child is constantly looking back at the thing that he's done, constantly bringing it back into the present. How do you think the relationship with the child and the father, or maybe when he comes to his father and says, father, can I have this? And the dad says, well, you can have it. And then the child looks at the father, but you know, I did something the other day, which I'm sure the father will be fed up with that kind of comment. And the same thing in our relationship with God. God has declared us as forgiven. And no matter what you've done in the past year or this year, we've come to almost to an end. God is saying, do not look back at the sins that have already been forgiven. If you look at the book of Psalm 103, and I love that psalm because it speaks about the forgiveness and the benefits that we have in God. Look at Psalm 103. And you see what the scripture says in Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. And that's what we are doing. Bless the Lord, O my soul. It says, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all his benefits. Right from the beginning of the year towards the end of it. And what are those benefits? He tells us, look at verse 3. It says, who forgives all your iniquities. In other words, no matter what you've done, you may not even be proud of what you've done. You may think you've disappointed not just the expectation that God had on you, but even the expectations that people have on you as well. But he says, who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Do not look back at those sins that have been forgiven. For some of us, it's not an issue, but for others, it could be an issue, especially if there are things that they are struggling with in their lives. They are looking at themselves and saying, can I ever become all that God wants me to be? And God is saying, you are my son, I have forgiven you, all you need to do is to arise and now begin to walk and follow me till the very end. And that's the first thing that we are called not to look back upon. The second thing that I want us to think about as well, that we are called not to look back upon, is that we shouldn't look back at the defeats that get us down. We're not talking about the sins now. We are talking about the defeats that let us down. Maybe you've tried some things all through the year, and maybe some have worked and some haven't worked. You've stood and you failed. Sometimes you've tried to run, but something happened and you couldn't run as fast as you thought that you could. Don't look back at the defeats that get you down. And every single one of us, when we look back over our lives, it may be this year, past 2, 3, 4 years, you can always identify at one point in your life where you can say, that was actually, I can see that as a defeat. I did not get the end result of what I expected. And one thing that normally encourages me, especially when it comes to failing or defeat, or maybe you try something and you fail it in whatever thing you've tried, is that it's only those who never attempt anything that are free from failing. As long as you're constantly moving with God, trying, look at the athletes or those who compete in Olympics, as long as you're trying, you're doing something, just like a child learning how to walk, as long as the child is willing to walk and is learning how to walk, there'll be times when the child will fall and stand and fall and stand, but you see that desire to hold on to things, to stand up and to walk, and that is what God is looking at. But God is saying, don't look back at those defeats. They will get you down. They will get you to a point where you're depressed. You can't even see the victory that you have in Christ Jesus. If you look at the journey of the Israelites as God led them through the wilderness, and you can see that at some point you can see great victories, but at other points you can see them being defeated by the enemies. And then they go back to God and fall on their faces, or the prophet goes back and falls on his faces and cries to God and say, God, what has happened? And God then opens their eyes to see. The next thing you see is that the people get back up again, and they go back and attempt again to take the city that God had already promised them. And so we shouldn't, even in ourselves, be afraid to try as long as we are walking with God. But if we try and we fail, we don't look back at those defeats that tend to get us down. There's a scripture in the book of Psalm 37, and that's a wonderful scripture in the book of Psalm 37. Look at verse 23 of Psalm 37. Psalm 37, look at verse 23 and see what it says there. It says, the steps, and that's what it is when we walk with God, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he says, and he delights in his way. But look at verse 24. Though he fall, that is a certainty. God is, it will happen. You will falter. Gone are those days when maybe some preachers will tell you once you give your life to Christ, oh, you will never falter at all. It's like a smooth sail all your way through to heaven. You will fall. Though he fall, he said, he shall not be utterly cast down. And that's the confidence that we have. That though we falter, though there might be moments in our life when we experience some form of defeat, we will not ultimately be destroyed or be cast down. It says, for the Lord, and that is our confidence, for the Lord upholds him with his hands. That means I can cross over to the new year, rejoicing in my heart that I serve a God and I have a God who can sustain me through the most difficult times of my life. That even though I fall, even though you lose everything that you once had with you, you still have a God who can sustain you, who can provide for you, who can lift you up, and who can still establish your feet. It says, though he fall, and that might describe some today, though you've fallen into sin, though you've fallen into a financial mess, though you've fallen and all expectations are gone, God is saying, don't look back at those things, defeats that get you down, but get back up on your feet again and begin to walk. There's a song, I don't know how many of you have heard this song before, but I think this was years ago, and the song says, I love the chorus, the lyrics of the song. It says, we fall down, but we get back up again. We fall down, but we get back up again. And listen to the next phrase. It says, for a saint is nothing but a sinner who fell down and got back up again. So when you think of saints, we are not saying people who had lived sinless lives and people who had never done anything wrong. But he said, there are those who fell and they stood back up on their feet again and carried on with in their relationship with God. So don't look at those defeats that tend to get you down. The next thing that you need to think about also, as we are looking at the need for us not to look back, is don't look back at the past and see it as being better than it was. And this is a warning that scripture sometimes gives us, because it's so easy for us to fall into that trap, looking back at the past and not seeing it truly as it is, but seeing it as being better than it truly is. If you go to the book of Ecclesiastes, and this is a nice scripture to look at, the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7, look at verse 10 there. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 10, he says, do not say, why were the former days better than these? He says, for you do not inquire wisely concerning this. He says, you do not. Because sometimes when God deals with us, God brings us at a particular time, at a particular stage of our lives, and it's for a reason. We may not enjoy all the benefits that we've enjoyed before. Or maybe there could be a reason why God is bringing us into a different era in our relationship with him. But what we do sometimes is that we make those comparisons that rob us of seeing the things or where God is about to take us to. And he says there, you do not inquire wisely. And that is what you see in Numbers 11 verse 8. The children of Israel, they kept on looking back. They kept on comparing Egypt and the promised land. They kept on making reference to the cucumbers and the things that they ate, the onions and the leeks. And they forgot that God was taking them to a place. Though it was through the wilderness, it was through a hard terrain, but God had something else in view and in mind for them. A popular writer, listen to what this man said. He said, nostalgia is never quite honest. And that is it, because sometimes what we do is we have this kind of selective memory. You know, we pick the best things that we want to remember in our past. And those are the things that we hold on to and we say, wow, those times were a lot better. These were the things. But if you're honest, you will remember that even those times that were better, or you seem to be better, also had some horrible things that happened within those same times. And that's why he said that nostalgia is never quite honest. And we have to come to a point where we are not looking back to the past or the past events or things that happened to our lives, and we are constantly saying to ourselves that it is better than it actually is. I have come to a conclusion that the future that God has for me is far greater than whatever past I have enjoyed, or that I think that I have enjoyed. And I think that is the same thing for each one of us here. In your relationship with God, see it as God is still taking me on. The best is yet to come. That's what I say to myself all the time. No matter what I've enjoyed this year, last year, 10 years ago in my relationship with Him, I still look up and I say, the best in God is yet to come. The best in my family is yet to come. The best in our community is yet to come. The best in this nation is yet to come. And that is the eyes of faith that God wants us to have as we look into the future. What else are we not called to look back on? I'll give us one more and I'll round up on that because of our time. And I'm sure this one is very important. Don't look back at the old conflicts that make you bitter. The old conflicts that make you bitter. Remember that when we talk about come into Jesus Christ, we're talking about a relationship. And not just are you coming into a relationship with Him, that relationship changes everything around you. And if you look at the New Testament, when Paul was writing to the churches, and you kept wondering why Paul kept talking about peace, unity in the church, togetherness. Because Paul knew the essence of togetherness. But even within the churches, you could still see there were conflicts, interpersonal problems, relationships, broken and things that happened. And sometimes what we can do as humans, especially as time goes on in our relationships, is that we look back at the conflicts that we've had, either in our relationship, in our friendship, or the things that we've gone through, and we allow them to make us very bitter. Maybe you've heard of someone who may be a young man or a young woman who used to be in a relationship, and that relationship turned very sour. And the next thing is, even if God brings them into a new relationship, you can still see the bitterness they carry with them into that new relationship. And sometimes that's what happens. People move on. People live their lives. But then there's that bitterness they've not been able to let go in their heart. Do not look back at those old conflicts that make you bitter. Because once that root of bitterness, you remember what Paul was writing to the churches, he said it, don't let the root of bitterness, don't let it have a place in your heart. Because once it does, unforgiveness comes in. And once unforgiveness comes in, how easy is it for you to pray the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven those. So you can see how it affects your relationship with God. You can see how it even affects your prayer life. Old conflicts that make you bitter. I think one of the best examples that God sets in resolving conflicts for us is maybe the marriage union. When I mean the marriage union where the man and the woman understands that no matter the conflict, no matter what happens between them, they just have to walk together. They just have to come to church and sit together. No matter the arguments they've had over the night, they just have to get on with each other. And that is what God is calling us to. Do not look back at the old conflicts, the things that do make you bitter. There's a scripture, and I'm going to close on this, in Philippians chapter 3. And this is very important for us. Some of us know this scripture, but it's good to remember this scripture as we cross over to the new year. Philippians chapter 3. And this is Paul here writing to the Philippians. Because what Paul does here is Paul more or less was asking them not to look back at the old victories. We're not just talking about conflicts now. We're not just talking about looking back at the past and seeing it as being better than it was, or looking at those defeats or the sins that have been forgiven. But we are saying here, and this is Paul speaking, telling them not to look back at those old victories that may even cause them to think that they have arrived in their relationship with God. Philippians 3, look at verse 14. And he says in verse 14, I press towards the goal. See how he's striving for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And then he says in verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended." In other words, I am not there yet. I haven't even arrived. And that's what he's saying. He says, "But one thing I do." He says, "Forgetting those things which are behind." And then he says, "Reaching forward to those things which are ahead of me." And if there was a man who was well so much, he had so much knowledge, trained and all of that, so much victories to look back upon, that was the Apostle Paul. But you know, Paul came to a point when he encountered Jesus on his way to Damascus. The light came from heaven, shone upon him. God changed and transformed his life. That Paul could now look back over his life and said, "You know what? I actually thought I had arrived in terms of my knowledge, in terms of everything I knew. But Paul said, I am not there yet." And that is what we constantly have to remind ourselves. I am not there yet. There's still so much that God can do with my life. He says this, "And that is one thing that I do. I forget those things which are behind." He had to forget about his Pharisee, the training that he received and all of that. And he says, "Reaching forward to those things which are ahead of me." And that is to press on towards that higher calling that he had in Jesus Christ. And that is what God is calling us to press on, to forget the things. Do not look back. Some of us are going to cross over maybe to the new year, and right from the beginning of the new year, we'll begin to make reference to the past. This happened in the past. Oh, this conflict, really, I find it difficult to deal with this. Oh, look at what happened. And we are bringing all the things that God may be saying to us. Why not leave that in the past and see the new future that I'm bringing you into? There is still so much more that we can be. There's still so much that we can attain to in Christ Jesus. One of my mentors in the Lord, when I gave my life to Christ, he told me this. He said, "If all your references, what you say about God or what God has been doing or has done for you, is always in the past," he said, "we need to question your relationship with him, whether God is taking you anywhere. For example, in those days when I used to win souls," is always in the past. "Oh, in those days when I was sold out to Christ," it was always in the past. "Oh, in those days when I served the Lord with all my heart," in the past. But the question is, are you serving him with all your heart now? And are you willing to serve him even in the new year? Are you willing to win more souls for him? Are you willing to be an instrument that God can use even as you cross over into the new year? And that is the call of the hour. Do not look back. Shall we bow our hearts and reflect on those words that we've just heard?
If you have enjoyed listening to this podcast, why not join us in worship at the Dingle Mount Church, or log on to our website at www.dinglemount.org for more information. Thank you for listening.